Turn then in your pew Bibles, New King James Version, to Psalm 68, and I'll read through that and then briefly touch on some high points. Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds, by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. As father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. So you lie down among the sheepfolds. You will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that Jehovah God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Selah. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord says, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come from Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. As Phil said, this is worthy of a much longer explanation than I could possibly hit on it today. But none of these things here should be foreign to you. There's really no new teaching here. This is yet another clear, obvious psalm of the Old Testament, which speaks of the gospel age. What we have in Psalm 68 is, take Psalm 67, that little seven verses we went through last week, and expand it and give examples and tell the story much more full, and you end up basically with Psalm 68. It's the same ideas in it. It starts with God being the God of judgment, the one who is indeed in charge of the earth. Now, when it talks about in this first part, let the wicked across the earth be scattered, his enemies be scattered, as smoke is driven away, drive them, melt them as wax. We have a couple things that we have to remember, first of all. What we have here is a very clear statement that God is not the God of those who choose to follow him, as is the modern and indeed the idea in the past, that different peoples belong to different gods. The psalm starts out with a declaration of sovereignty over all men, not just his followers. So we have a God stating that he is the God of the earth. And he is a God of justice, that his enemies, the wicked, will be destroyed, but the righteous will be glad, and they will rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. God's people are to rejoice in him. And again, the popular image that the world has of Christians with sour, sad faces going along, wishing they could do all the fun things, is not known in the Bible. We are to rejoice in our God. Because, as it goes on, he is a father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. He takes care of his people. But again, the rebellious dwell in a dry land because he is, again, the King, the Lord of all peoples. Starting in verse 7, we go back and we look at some history. We see that when he went out before his people, when the gospel was pictured there in the escape of the people of Israel from Egypt, we see that the earth, you know, the earth dropped rain, the earth shook, the heavens dropped rain, Sinai, the mountain itself, was moved at his presence. We see a God that doesn't exist on the earth, but the earth exists for him and from him, and he's the King of all things. He has the power, then, to shake the earth, to make it rain. He has the power over creation. And then when the people was weary, the congregation, his people dwelt in it and were protected and given good things from this God that ran the earth, that is the God of providence. Starting in verse 11 with more history, the Lord gave word, and great was the company of those who proclaimed it. When his word went out and the people moved into the land, we see kings going away, kings hiding, fleeing. Verse 13, it wouldn't be hard to put that into the image of Jesus the Christ being born there in the sheepfold, but being lifted up with the wings of the dove and made into a king. When the Almighty scattered kings in it. Verse 15, different sections throughout this whole psalm. We see God again as a God of creation, a God of power. That as he resides in Mount Zion, we see the other mountains being envious, but God has chosen to dwell among his people there in the land of Israel. The power of God is mentioned in verse 17. Verse 18, you have ascended on high and you have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. That's looking at Jerusalem there on Mount Zion. Again, the people living in the midst of their God. Starting in verse 21, I don't have my big print Bible, so I'm having trouble saying this. Starting in verse 21, we see that God again will wound the head of his enemies and the hairy scalp of those who still trespass. We see him crushing the wicked ones and putting the earth under his feet. This should bring to mind that Jesus is said to reign until he brings all enemies under his feet, when he can deliver the kingdom to his Father. Verses 24, they have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. And we should think of the time when the Spirit of God invested the temple or the sanctuary in Jerusalem, when all the tribes were there celebrating as their God came to live among them, there in the mercy seat in the temple, there in the tabernacle. We've got a listing of the tribes coming before him there in the temple. It is said, because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to the nation, to the temple. In verse 70, rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. And here, this is imagery again for other nations, that God will assert himself over the nations till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. What we see here in the psalm, using imagery, using history, and showing the investment of the temple when God comes to live with his people, a picture of gospel age. In the last five verses there, we see God being magnified to all the people, and as all the people are submitted to through Christ and to the Father. The Psalm 68, again, I wish I had time to do it justice, to do a series of sermons on the different sections. But it shows God asserting himself. Jehovah, the covenant God, asserting himself as king over all the peoples, as master of the world. But not a master that comes just to boss or to be in charge, but a loving covenant God who brings salvation to those also. He comes to convert the nations. Jesus comes to submit them all to himself and to the Father in the gospel and in the covenant. And the ending of the psalm, I'll read these last ones. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old, indeed he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. And the last verse, O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. This psalm speaks of the magnificence of the holy places, but you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. The covenant promises are there for God's people. The history of the Old Testament is a picture showing the gospel and leading up to the birth of Jesus. And in this psalm, we do see, as we did in the last one, the gospel going forth to the nations and the curse being reversed and the people coming to Christ.